Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Around Lockerbie, Scotland this morning, the search continues for victims of Pan Am Flight 103 and for clues to the apparent high-altitude explosion that rained wreckage and bodies on the hilly countryside. Dan Revive is there.
British crash investigators, now working together with American government experts, say there's no evidence so far of sabotage, but British sources warn not to expect any conclusive answers until next week at the earliest. Britain's Department of Transport is examining the flight recorders with American help, and here in Lockerbie, pieces of the Boeing 747 jumbo jet are being collected carefully as evidence. Despite official advice, a dozen relatives of the dead passengers have come to Scotland. Perhaps 30 more, including Americans, are on the way. Richard Eason of the U.S. Consulate.
It's up to the local authorities how much they can actually see, whether they can actually go to any of these sites involved, and of course whether they can actually see any remains, which I doubt.
The bodies are too badly mutilated to be identified, except by dental and medical records and some jewelry. 160 corpses have been found in and around Lockerbie. About 100 haven't been located. Also missing, presumed dead, 17 Lockerbie residents. A general reaction here.
Christmas doesn't mean nothing, though. Nothing.
Dan Revive, CBS News, Lockerbie, Scotland.
The U.S. government knew of a terrorist threat 16 days before Flight 103 went down. It warned State Department employees to avoid Pan Am flights from Frankfurt, but did not tell the public. That news was especially hard on grieving relatives of the more than 275 victims.
What right do they have of taking an airplane up when they know there's a possible terrorist attack?
You know, if they thought something was wrong with that flight, they should have warned everybody, especially all American citizens, all the people taking the flight.
Republican Senator William Cohen of Maine sits on the Intelligence Committee, and he's troubled by the selective terrorist alert.
That's a very disturbing factor, that notice would be given to certain employees and not to the general public. I think that's something that's going to require some examination as to why only certain individuals were notified. I know, for example, that four members of my staff, or the Intelligence Committee staff in the Senate, traveled from Frankfurt to Washington during that same period, and they were not notified, and I must tell you they're quite concerned about it as well.
The initial warning of a bombing came in an anonymous telephone call to the U.S. Embassy in Helsinki and suggested the Abu Nidal terrorist faction would somehow dupe a Finnish woman into unknowingly carrying a bomb on a flight out of Frankfurt. A search is on to see if any Finnish women were aboard Flight 103. Meanwhile, Wyatt Andrews reports the State Department is coping with questions about its failure to issue a general warning.
The U.S. government took the Helsinki threat seriously, but there was no notice given to American travelers because it's U.S. policy not to do that. State Department spokeswoman Phyllis Oakley says U.S. policy is to tell only those embassies, airlines, and police forces which might be able to stop the threat.
Our focus has been on alerting those who are responsible for security arrangements. We want to alert those people who can do something about the threat.
The public is not told, officials say, because there are too many threats. 106 threats, in fact, since September. Spokesman Dan Howard of the Pentagon argues the public would not want to know about each one.
There are so many of them that if you paid attention to all of them and planned your travel accordingly, you would never go anywhere.
Officials even argue that by keeping the warnings behind the scenes, they are fighting terrorism. This argument says that if terrorists know that every serious threat will get publicity, they could shut down the airlines of the world with a phone call. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, the State Department.
So far, speculation about a terrorist bomb is only that. A British investigator told CBS News this morning the cockpit voice recorder offered no clues except a sound at the very end, which is being further analyzed. Moments ago, President Reagan offered his condolences to victims of the Flight 103, and he was asked about the lack of public warning.
I think all the precautions that could be taken were taken with regard to warning the airline and all, but if you stop to think about it, such a public statement with nothing more to go on than an anonymous telephone call, you'd literally have closed down the air traffic in the world.
6 miles from the Lockerbie crash site, two teenagers inspecting some wreckage found a brown envelope. Inside, $547,000 in traveler's checks. They turned the fortune over to police. A federal court jury in New York has cleared beauty queen turned politician Bess Meyerson in a celebrated divorce-fixing trial. As Richard Schlesinger reports, she was delighted.
I'm grateful for the American judicial system, and I thank the jury for exonerating me.
Meyerson was accused, along with her boyfriend Carl Capasso and former Judge Hortense Gable, in a bribery scheme centered around Capasso's divorce. The one-time Miss America and former city commissioner was charged with trying to influence Capasso's divorce case by giving the judge's daughter a city job. It was a high-profile, headline-grabbing trial, the kind the tabloids love. During this trial, which was a drama that captivated New York for a while, a sideshow developed. Former Judge Hortense Gabel's daughter, Sue Crete, the woman Meyerson was accused of hiring to influence the Capasso divorce case, testified against her own mother while insisting she still loves her. When the jury acquitted all the defendants, mother and daughter embraced, and Bess Meyerson, the former beauty queen, walked off a free woman. Her boyfriend, Carl Capasso, was walked away to jail, where he'll continue serving a 3-year sentence on an unrelated tax evasion charge. Richard Schlesinger, CBS News, New York.
In Colville, Utah, what became known as the polygamist trial has ended with the conviction of 3 Klan members. KSL radio reporter Tammy Kikuchi has the story.
The jury took nearly 30 hours over 4 days to find Adam Swapp and his brother-in-law, John Timothy Singer, guilty of manslaughter. The jury convicted Jonathan Swapp of negligent homicide. The 3 had been charged with second-degree murder of a state lawman. The shooting occurred during the final moments of a 13-day standoff with police at the polygamous family's northern Utah farm last January. Jonathan Swapp's attorney, Earl Spafford, says his client was pleased with the lenient verdict.
He felt that he was treated fairly, and I think it was a good verdict.
The men already face various prison terms for convictions in an earlier federal trial. Tammy Kikuchi for CBS News, Colville, Utah.
Texas District Judge Jack Hampton has apologized for what he called a poor choice of words in saying he gave a killer a lighter sentence because the victims were, quote, queers. His remarks prompted outrage from gay and civil liberties groups and demands for his removal from the bench. Some are not satisfied with the apology. After Pope John Paul II's 20-minute meeting today with PLO leader Yasser Arafat, the Vatican said he expressed the hope that Israelis and Palestinians would soon begin peace talks. President Reagan left the White House a few minutes ago, headed for Christmas at his lush new California home. Last night in an ABC News interview, Mr. Reagan said homeless people sleep on grates near the White House because they want to.
There are always going to be people. They make their own choice for staying out there. There are shelters in virtually every city, and shelters here.
Mr. Reagan also repeated a suggestion that jobless are unemployed by choice. The dollar is trading mixed. London gold is up 30 cents. And on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is ahead 5.18 at 2160.36. 10 minutes past 7.